Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the allnewhuntrealestate.com, which we're constantly improving, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Western New York, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee to you. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. In today's market, it's a very unusual time. As you all know, I don't have to remind you of that, but it's a very interesting time if you look at the housing market and particularly the financing market today. While the credit requirements are somewhat tighter today just because of the uncertainty and volatility in the financing world, the fact of life is rates are still at near historic lows, and the opportunity is great today because, frankly, there's fewer people out shopping today for just about everything, but housing also. So I encourage you to call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, and look for that personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. That's also our assurance to you. And don't forget about the 24/7, 365 real estate hotline. In today's world, we're bringing technology to you in a different way. We give you access to all available information about any property listed for sale, not just our listings, any property listed for sale all across upstate. The local number here is 716-631-4800. All you then do is enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. The hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, any time in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. And that number locally is 631-4800. As I mentioned, we're a very active time in the market, believe it or not. It's a different place, but it's an interesting place, mainly because of the in-person element that is kind of off the table here for a while. Having said that, we know that some of the real estate agents out there are bending the rules a little bit. We're not going to do that. We want to make sure that you're safe and healthy. So if you deal with a Hunt Real Estate ERA sales professional, they'll make sure that the rules are observed and you are kept safe. So you can call them today, 633-9400, and ask them about the greatest plan in the industry, the seller security plan, where very simply we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. And that's our assurance to you. We have a very special show for you today. In the remote area, we're doing our shows remote now to protect our guests and also protect myself and everybody here in the studio, frankly. And so live remote from our home is one of the leading citizens here in Western New York and who's doing a tremendous service in today's world. And that is Tara Ellis, who is the president and CEO of Feedmore Western New York. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, I'm delighted to have you with me, Tara. It's Mary Jo's been bugging me to have you on for a long time. And we've been trying to, but I couldn't think of a better time than right now to have you on. So before we get into what Feedmore is, tell us a little bit about Tara Ellis and how you got to where you are right now.
Well, I grew up in Western New York and attended school here. Really, I've always lived across New York State. Went to school at William Smith, UB, and Syracuse University. I've worked in Albany at the Capitol, and so I've kind of touched the worlds of, you know, government, corporate, nonprofit. By far, my heart, my soul, my passion is certainly with the work that Feedmore does.
You were at the Houtman Woodward Institute for a while. What did you do there?
That was my first entry into the world of nonprofits, and I worked on communications, government affairs. I helped out the development team, really just trying to ensure that we could bring attention to the amazing and groundbreaking work that was being done on the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus and is still being done. It's really, you know, we're so blessed. This is the best community on earth, both from an intellectual, academic standpoint and from the way that this community supports each other.
And Dr. Houtman was one of the very few people from Western New York that earned a Nobel Prize, too, which is something that I think we should all feel very proud about.
Absolutely. And he's really a true example of the heart and soul of this community, because even though he was a Nobel laureate and, you know, just a brilliant man, his kindness and compassion always trumped the intellect. You know, hours and hours and hours spent in the lab. He always wanted to spend time with my son, Austin, and they spent hours together doing math and, you know, letting Austin ask him his million questions. So really, he to me was always a true example, even though he wasn't originally from here, of that Buffalo heart, spirit, and soul.
And he was a regular guy. He was around town, and as you point out, he's always helpful to others. But I used to have lunch at a place where he also used to frequent. And, you know, we would just exchange pleasantries, but what a fine man he was. And, I didn't know that about your past, but that's certainly reflective of all the things you're doing for our community. So let's go to Feed More, the organization. It's a combination of two organizations. How did that come about?
So we're the merged entity of the Food Bank of Western New York and Meals on Wheels for Western New York. I actually, after Houtman Woodward, went to Meals on Wheels, and as I was doing my best practice research and trying to learn about the way things were being done in other areas of the country, I found it fascinating that there were a number of programs across the country that were combined hunger relief organizations regardless of age. So they had either merged the Meals on Wheels and the food banks in their communities, or they had grown up organically just to tackle hunger relief with all different varieties of programming. And I really felt strongly that was something that we needed to at least investigate and determine whether or not that style would be a fit for our community. So fortunately, the boards of those organizations, when the amazing previous leader of the food bank had decided to retire and they were doing their search, they were open to exploring and trying to determine whether or not that would be the right fit for our community. Fast forward, the boards voted to merge the entities. And I have to tell you, Peter, I feel very blessed and fortunate and happy that that merger happened when it did. I genuinely believe that having these teams together, having the focus purely on hunger relief and not being siloed by ages or program styles, has really helped us to weather this storm so much better than so many of my peers. When I hear of some of the struggles that are being faced by food banks in other communities and other states, I really am feeling so fortunate that that this work to merge was done in advance of this crisis, which is hitting us all so hard.
Some of our listeners might be thinking, Tara, that there seemed to be more than one organization doing what you do. There was a report on the news this morning about another organization that's collecting food and distributing food. How do you rationalize all what you do with the other things going on? Do you work in cooperation with the other resources that someone in our community might look to for nutrition?
Yes, we certainly try to collaborate and cooperate with everyone in the world of hunger relief. And, you know, certainly there are other Meals on Wheels in the community, Amherst Meals on Wheels, Kenton Meals on Wheels, Dunkirk, Jamestown. They are doing amazing, amazing work, and they are our friends, our peers, our colleagues. And then, you know, we've certainly seen some different organizations pop up through this crisis. For example, the work that is being done by the Buffalo Hospitality Coalition. We've been speaking with Peter and his team and trying to find ways that we can help to support and bolster his effort. We really feel like anybody that is trying to tackle hunger and to fill the void, it's incumbent on us to partner with them. We are, you know, obviously kind of the large elephant in the room, being the largest hunger relief organization in our four counties that we serve. We serve Niagara, Erie, Cattaraugus, and Chautauqua. So we really want to make sure that, you know, we are focusing not on, you know, territorialism, our organizations. That is all irrelevant. The only focus for us is ensuring that we don't have people going to bed hungry, that are waking up hungry, that, you know, may have their health at greater risk because they don't have proper nutrition. So it is always our goal to collaborate, cooperate, and make each other stronger and better to serve our community.
You use the word nutrition often in your public relations materials, which I think is critical here. How do you look at this issue of pure hunger that we have? That's a growing problem in our community right now as a result of unemployment, the whole shift in our economy as a result of the COVID-19 issue. How do you, I mean, it must be an immense challenge just to not only get food to people, but also to get a balanced nutrition to people. This must be an enormous amount of work.
Well, we really have a tremendous team here, and, you know, we're building on a foundation of knowledge, structure, and strength, you know, working with partners like Feeding America, Feeding New York State, Meals on Wheels America, and we have registered dietitians on our teams that are constantly working to ensure that, these food boxes that we're sending out, our emergency food kits, our backpacks, our home-delivered meals, they're all being written with ensuring the proper nutritional values being addressed. So, for example, you know, we determined a number of years ago that, you know, there's just certain things that we aren't including in these things. When we're distributing juices, we're really trying to aim for 100% fruit juice. We're really trying not to push a lot of sugars and, you know, empty calories into people's bodies. You know, living in poverty, you have so many other strikes against you and, you know, so many more challenges that make it difficult to maintain good health. We want to be sure that we're part of a positive solution. So we're focusing on high-quality proteins, on, you know, good vegetables and fruits, low sodium where we can. It is a balance, and, of course, it's an expensive and daunting task when we're pushing out millions of pounds of food. But we really do have a commitment to try to ensure that wherever and whenever possible, we're giving people good nutrition, not just empty calories.
The size of the challenge must only be growing with what's going on around us. How has your organization's volume of output, how has that changed since the whole COVID-19 thing came upon us in the last month or 6 weeks?
It's changed pretty significantly, Peter. And, you know, I would be really remiss if I didn't point out to you that, you know, as we talked about some of those other organizations in the community that are working to do the work of hunger relief, we also work in partnership in our own organization with, you know, a couple hundred member agencies. These are food pantries, soup kitchens, our partner hosting organizations that allow us to hold our home-delivered meal sites in their communities. Something else that makes us unique, many of those are still around. Every single one of our home-delivered meal sites is operating and delivering meals every day. Most of our partner agencies have been able to keep their doors open, which is really a tremendous task, and kudos to every single one of those partner community agencies that are out there doing this work each day. You know, we're providing the food to them, and then they are pushing it out to the community. And our volume has increased significantly. We're up 49% over the same time last year on our food banking programming side of the house, and up over 31% on our home-delivered meal side of the house for those individuals that are in their homes. And we're really shifting our distribution styles and methods a lot as well, Peter. As you know, with so many families that are being faced with home quarantine, whether it's purely a suspicion of illness, whether they have a pre-existing condition, or perhaps they even have a community member that's COVID positive. So we've had to implement quarantine procedures, try to make sure that we're getting them enough food for that 14-day period when they need to be staying in their home, that we're doing it keeping our own staff and volunteers safe and healthy and well. So we're doing a lot of contactless food distribution right now, calling ahead, making sure there's a family member or friend that can bring it inside the home for them, leaving it somewhere safe, and having our volunteer or staff member in their car to watch that food is taken into the home safely, so we don't have our staff coming in contact with them, but we're also ensuring that they have enough to eat during that time period while they need to be focusing only on getting well.
It must be difficult a lot of us to understand, but what percentage of the entire population are served by organizations like yours now? Do you know what the percentage would be?
Well, this is really, as you know, Peter, a constantly evolving situation. Traditionally, we had been saying that approximately 1 in 5 of our community members about 1 in 5 of our community members are hungry. But as you know, with 26 million Americans being laid off that have never needed our services before, you know, some of those statistics, frankly, are just obsolete already in just in the course of 5 or 6 weeks. So we're really in the process of trying to determine exactly how many of these people that have never needed us before are all of a sudden trying to seek food assistance.
So if you started with 20% of the population as being hungry, in the country today. And then you add to that the delta between the old unemployment rate of 3.5% roughly and what it is now north of 10%. That obviously is going to be a lot more people that are going to be in need of services like yours, which must be just daunting right now. How do you meet the need, Tara? I mean, I've always wondered how you could possibly meet the need. Yet every day you're delivering meals and food and packaged food and to people. How first of all do you measure the need, and then how do you go out and meet that need with through a supply chain?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, obviously the goal right now is to not only meet the need, but to try to get ahead of the need as well, Peter. You know, we're hearing from some of the experts in our field that this hunger issue is not going to be solved, you know, when the pause order gets lifted. As we all know, this is going to go on for quite a while because it's going to take quite a while for the economy to recuperate and get back on track. So, you know, it's probably a problem we're going to be struggling with for the next 12 to 18 months. You know, we really are in a process right now of trying to determine how to get through the current COVID crisis, get food in people's hands. Once we can stabilize a little bit, we'll be planning for the second wave of COVID. And the supply chains, frankly, are a real challenge. You know, we have had 5 truckloads of food that have been swept out from underneath us over the course of the past couple months. Either they've been delayed until August, September, or in some instances canceled outright because the food just isn't there to be had. So it is definitely a challenge and a struggle. Certainly something that we're trying to work on from a number of different angles, you know, trying to find, you know, good vendors that we can still work with. But in many instances, the prices are skyrocketing. We're seeing increases upwards of 30%, 40%, depending on the product, as high as 45% higher than it was in February. So, you know, trying to balance the incredible cost increases with an increasing volume is indeed a challenge and a struggle, and it's something that we are trying to work on here. We're trying to work on it across the state. We're really hoping that we can build some partnerships with our local agricultural community, some of our farmers that have surplus goods. Rather than having farmers in some of these situations that you're hearing about and reading about where, you know, they have to close their own farms, they're plowing fields under, we'd really like to figure out how to work with them to make sure that, you know, we're really taking farm to table to a completely different level and making sure that those farmers are surviving and thriving and that our families aren't going hungry. So, you know, I think this is a great opportunity for us as a hunger relief network to try to approach things a little bit differently at a time when so many are struggling. How can we ensure that we're keeping as many people as we can safe, whether it's those that are normally working in a hospitality industry, on a farm, or some of our families that just need this little bit of a helping hand while the economy gets back on track?
Let's just sidetrack for a second here, Tara. I just want to remind our listeners that they can participate in today's show by calling us here in the studio at 803-0930, or if you're long distance, 1-800-616-9236, *930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls, and you can also text us at 30930, and I do have one text I'd like to respond to here, Tara, before we get back to the matter at hand. Someone texting in is asking whether I foresee that the FHA 203K program will be available again to investors. And just for listeners' sake, the 203K program is a situation where you can your mortgage actually includes not just the normal mortgage amount, but the amount that you would need to renovate that property. So so you know in advance, for example, what you're going to be in for, when it comes to bring that property perhaps up to code or to the standards that you want to set. Right now, I'm going to just respond to this person who's texting by encouraging you to call 633-3700. That's Hunt Mortgage. We are an FHA lender, and I don't know exactly what the program is today for investors or whether this program applies to investors, but I can assure you at Hunt Mortgage we do know. So if you'd call there, they will give you a detailed answer and perhaps can look at your particular situation and give you better guidance than I can here on the air. But please bring your text in, 30930, about anything relative to real estate and certainly about the guest that's with me today, who is Tara Ellis, who is the CEO and president of Feedmore Western New York. One of the things I saw this morning on the news, which is not the first time, is the fact that the meat plants are being shut down around the country. How does this affect you, Tara? Do you supply meat in your food, in your meals?
Yes, we do. You know, we provide proteins, fresh, frozen, you know, through working with our member agencies, through our soup kitchens, our food pantries. Obviously, each one of our home-delivered meals has a protein component. And then, of course, in terms of our shelf-stable boxes, our emergency food kits and backpacks, we always try to provide some source of protein. Obviously, our emergency food kits and backpacks, it's things like peanut butter, tuna fish, you know, canned chicken, canned salmon, et cetera. But for our agencies, we like to provide fresh meats, everything from, you know, ground beef, ground turkey, solid muscle meats. Again, those proteins are so critical for these community members to stay healthy and well. And so when those big companies, you know, struggle like Tyson and Smithfield and they have plants that are shut down, obviously it's affecting every single step in the supply food chain, including us, unfortunately.
That must be a daunting task, and your 40%+ increase is—I don't know how you deal with that in the short run. That must be a monumental challenge. Let me go back to the challenge issue just for a second, because long before the COVID-19 issue descended upon us, there were these places called nutritional deserts around the country, and certainly we have them in our community. Not only are there the nutritional deserts, but there's also problems with underlying health conditions that are contributing to deaths with COVID-19, obesity, diabetes, the heart disease, for example, things that are direct byproducts, really, of lifestyle and diet. Do you have a counseling element to your program at all, Tara, as you deal with your customers?
We absolutely do, and we have that across our organization. For our home-delivered meal clients, we, you know, in our normal course of operations, each of them get visits from registered dietitians and social workers that talk to them about everything from, you know, mental health and wellness to physical health and wellness and proper dieting. We actually offer 6 special diets on our home-delivered meal program for diabetes, ground meals, renal meals, to really ensure the clients are healthy and well. And then on our other side of the house, we also have our individuals going out through our Just Say Yes program. They're doing everything from farmers markets to teaching children how to cook, to classes for people that, you know, simply have never learned what do you do with these products. So if I'm even receiving products at a pantry, they may not even know how to safely prepare them. So it's really important to us to ensure that people understand what good nutrition means, how to manage it, how to keep food safe. And again, that's another huge advantage of us being one organization. Our group of registered dietitians works together to ensure that we are teaching the community and sharing, you know, the best ways to handle good nutrition.
We do have to go to a break. We'll be back with more with Tara Ellis from Feed More Western New Yorker for these very important messages.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect Mother's Day gift. With over 24 cocktails at the push of a button, give mom what she really wants at drinkworks.com/mom. From mojitos to mules to margaritas, save over $100 and get the DrinkWorks Home Bar for the Mother's Day price of only $1.99 at drinkworks.com/mom. The perfect Mother's Day gift is the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Get yours today at drinkworks.com/mom. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Used under license. Please enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the constantly updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate as well, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts through our links. You'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment, which is an incredible program that allows you to enter the market effectively with cash, which is a very important thing in our highly competitive marketplace today. In spite of what you may think, the inventory is still low in our community. Homes are selling quickly, and I encourage you to take advantage of that so that when you do find the home you want, you'll be in the perfect position to compete with the best of offers on the table at the time. Also ask about our warm home loan, which is something special, and even our second look program, which allows you to, whether you've already talked to a lender, perhaps you've responded to an ad that you saw on television or someplace else, this allows you to know whether you're getting the best deal. We'll take a look at it for you. That's the second look program, and if we can't beat it, we'll give you a gift certificate for $50, so you have absolutely nothing to lose. Best program in the market, 633-3700. We have a very special show for you today in the studio. I should say live remote with me today is Tara Ellis. Ms. Ellis is the president and CEO of Feed More Western New York, and we've been talking about kind of a wide range of topics relative to the challenges that they face at Feed More today. And I must say that from what I know, based on volunteers that I know have worked with you, Tara, you're doing a remarkable job, and I want to compliment you and thank you on behalf of our community for the service you perform. Before we get back to the topic, we do have a caller on the line, Tara. This is Katie from Hamburg. Katie, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi. I'm listening, and I was just wondering, how can the community help Feed More Western New York during this time?
That's a great question. One I was going to ask you anyway, Tara. How would you respond to that?
Thank you so much for calling in, Katie. There's lots of ways the community can help. And first, I want to commend the community for all they've already done. We have onboarded over 2,000 volunteers over the course of the past 5 weeks. And so, you know, in some of those instances, we haven't even been able to put those amazing people to work. We're here today. We're packing out, you know, backpacks, emergency food kits at the warehouse, at our community learning center on James E. Casey. And we have so much help that we're actually pivoting our need a little bit. And we're asking the community to help us with something that we're having a really tough time accessing, and that's food. We really are asking the community to consider helping us with virtual food drives. You can do this online and find information on it on our website through contactless food drives. We have two of them happening today. You know, we've got Common Council member Scanlon working in partnership with a couple of our legislators to help us put on a contactless food drive at Southside in South Buffalo from 10 to 12 today. We have another one happening in Snyder, thanks to the wonderful Tomczak family, from 9 to 3 at 101 Livingston. We're going to have another one in Snyder next week. So we really, since this food supply chain and pipeline has been so dried up and we're having such a difficult time accessing those amazing foods that we need, those canned proteins and fruits and vegetables, anybody willing to help us with a food drive, we would be happy to teach you how to do it and guide you and provide you with some materials. So, you know, if they'd be willing to consider doing that, that would be a tremendous help. Cash donations are always incredibly helpful. Our expenses now are greater than ever before. And unfortunately, you know, we things that we would normally do, like traditional food drives and our traditional fundraiser, you know, we had planned to have our wonderful annual Sweet Expectations event on May 20th. We're turning that into a virtual event. You can go online to that event and participate. It's a very modest entry fee to participate. So there's lots of different ways you can help. Anybody that is a seamstress that's making cloth masks, if they wanted to consider donating some of those to our program, we would be happy to send a staff member to pick them up, or you could bring them to one of our headquarter locations at 100 James E. Casey Drive in Buffalo or 91 Holt Street. Really lots of ways to help, and we really need everybody's help. This community has stood up for us from, you know, the Buffalo Bills to corporations to the amazing foundation consortium through the Western New York COVID Fund, the incredible Mitch Morris, who made a personal donation with his wife, Caitlin. And we just, that need is just there. We need more and more of our community members to be standing by our side in this work.
You mentioned a virtual food drive. What is that?
You can actually go online, and if you go to our website, Peter, and click on virtual food drives, it'll literally walk you through it, and there's lots of different platforms that you can do it through. You can coordinate, you know, friends, neighbors, peers to literally purchase online, and those products will be sent directly to us. You know, different platforms, certainly if you are a lover of Amazon, you can do it through Amazon. We've got a platform on our website. You know, lots of different ways that you can literally just do it from your living room. And of course, those contactless food drives are huge for us too. You know, where we would have a lot of physical contact in the past, we're really creating some social distancing options. And in the case of Common Council Member Scanlon, for example, he both has a drop-off point at Southside Elementary today, as I said, from 10 to 2 in South Buffalo. But he's also encouraging community members to put food in bags on their porches, and he's sending his staff members to go out and pick it up for us. So many different ways that you can make sure that you're getting food to us that we can then distribute to those that are most critically in need.
How would we choose the right foods?
We're really trying to encourage people to choose foods that are shelf stable. So canned meats, tuna fish, peanut butter, canned chicken, anything like that that will have longevity that won't require refrigeration. We love fresh produce. We love fresh meat. We are hoping to procure some of it by working with local farmers and, you know, our amazing partners in the world of grocery, Wegmans, Dash's, Tops that are always standing by our side. But right now, we really do need those shelf-stable items. You can never go wrong with those types of proteins, vegetables, fruits, literally anything from fruit cocktail to mandarin oranges, you know, peaches, pears, anything in between.
Well, that's very helpful because I think some people just, they don't know what to do and they would like to help. And as Katie did, indicated when she called, but I think there's probably thousands of people out there that would love to help and don't know how. And I appreciate all that. Mention your website, if you would, Tara, so people know where they could go online.
Absolutely. www.feedmorewny.org.
Perfect. Okay, great. I want to go back to the issue of what existed has existed for unfortunately a long time in our community and all communities across the country, and that's a nutritional desert, where we have whole parts of our community. We've done a show recently on this with Pastor Jones from his organization that's building housing on the east side. But his big challenge that he presented to us was bringing a supermarket where there was a wide variety of healthy foods available nearby or on the east side at all. How important is local access to quality foods outside even of your system, Tara, that to our community? And how do you see us doing along those lines as a community?
It's absolutely critical, and I think that the pastor is, you know, 100% right. You know, we are a huge part of the hunger relief system, but we cannot be the only part of the solution. We clearly cannot, you know, provide food 365 days a year for everybody in our community. The infrastructure simply does not exist. We have to be working in tandem and in partnership. And, you know, the food desert situation, it's a huge challenge. You know, even before COVID, the giant holes and gaps in where people can access fresh, you know, quality produce and fresh quality meats at prices that are reasonable and sustainable, it's a tremendous challenge. I think, you know, our government officials realize that challenge is at hand. I think that they're trying to help tackle some of it. But honestly, it's something that we need to really make a concerted effort toward. You know, COVID is the crisis right now. They're telling us it's going to come back. This isn't going to go away. The poverty is only going to be increased. The economic impact, the trickle down to these families and the amount of time it is going to take for them to recuperate. The time to act on trying to get, you know, more of a tapestry of food solutions in place is now. And I really could not agree with that pastor more. We really need to be working hand in hand so that food access can be provided to families, you know, everywhere in our community. And, you know, it doesn't only affect abject poverty. I mean, families that are living in middle-income situations are struggling in those food desert communities as well to be able to access, you know, appropriate foods that are still within their budget.
You know, this is such a monstrous challenge because for so long we have been guided by way of the media, advertising, et cetera, to a relatively unhealthy lifestyle. The foods that are sold, processed foods that are sold to us every day via the media generally haven't helped make us a healthier country. They've kind of done the opposite. And it's even more difficult when you don't have close proximity to stores that can provide that kind of food for you, assuming you can afford that. And fortunately, through organizations like yours, you can work around that system and deal with people that know what they're doing, like yourselves. Our mission on this show, Tara, is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment here in Western New York. And one of the things that we've tried to do via this show is talk about affordable housing and making sure that people are not just, I mean, fed is a challenge that way beyond certainly anything I can do. But I'm through people like you, we're learning more and we're trying to educate our listeners best we can. But I had a very interesting conversation recently with the Dean of the School of Architecture, Bob Shibley, a member of the faculty there, that whose focus is affordable housing and its connection to nutrition and the whole idea of the community, the integrated nature of the community in terms of the services that are provided to people there. And my argument is that housing gets more valuable if we have a healthier community. We have a healthier community if we have access to good nutrition. Unfortunately, we got to go to a break. I'd like to just to think about that, if you would, Tara, and come back and give me your thoughts right after these very important messages from our house to yours. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is your most complete supplier of all types of home financing. You can reach them at 633-3700 and ask about our many exclusive programs when you call there today. I'm in live remote. I'm in the studio, but my guest is remote at her place of work, which I was very interested to hear about a little earlier, just by inference. And my guest is Tara Ellis, the president and CEO of Feed More Western New York. And I was asking you, or commenting more than asking you, Tara, but I would like your thoughts on this. The connection between housing, nutrition, and general, the health of our community and what that means for, you know, our financial strength and also just the general value and values in a community like Western New York.
Absolutely. You know, clearly, Peter, hunger does not exist in a vacuum. One definitely leads to another, from, you know, the jobless rates to proper, safe, affordable housing, appropriate transportation. You know, even accessing, you were talking a few minutes ago about, you know, food deserts. If one does not have a vehicle and cannot make that, you know, 5, 10, 15 mile trek to a grocery store to be able to get the food that they need, if they can't go home to, you know, a safe, warm environment where they can actually afford the rent or the mortgage, all of these things are playing into each other. It's one of the key reasons we exist. We don't ever want someone having to choose between their rent, their heating bills, their medication. So, you know, we're part of that overall solution, and housing is critical in that picture.
I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that. But we do have a caller on the line, Tara. This is Jason from Buffalo. Jason, how can we help you?
I'm just curious, if someone's in need of food in Buffalo, how do we get connected?
That's kind of the key question of the day, isn't it, Tara? How does someone connect with your organization?
So lots of different ways we connect, and you know, certainly the city of Buffalo, but literally everywhere among the four counties that we serve, Niagara, Erie, Cattaraugus, and Chautauqua, lots of different ways to connect to the food that you need. If you do have access to the internet, you can log on to our website, www.feedmorewny.org. We have a feature on our website, which is called a pantry locator. It will help you find, you know, you can search by zip code, a food pantry that is closest to you. We also have mobile food distributions going on right now. We're sending more food on our pre-existing mobile distributions. You can also find on our web where those mobile distributions are occurring. We've been doing some proprietary distributions. We've been working in partnership with other organizations. Some of our member organizations, like Pastor Eric Johns, is coming to our place a couple times a week to pick up food, to do mobile distributions. The Salvation Army stepped up very early days of this. I got a call from my good friend Lori Krasna saying, hey, how can we help? They've been helping us at least once a week, coming and picking up pallets of food. So, you know, if you do not have access to the web, and I know unfortunately so many people do not right now have access to the internet, If you still have access to the phone, please give us a call at 852-1305, and we will make sure that someone on our team matches you with where to go. If you're in a bad situation and you cannot get out of your home, you have no other options, you're quarantined, if you can just give us a call at 852-1305, we will make sure that whether your needs are an emergency food kit, backpacks for your children, or if you need prepared meals through our Meals on Wheels program, we're going to make sure that we match you with the program that meets your needs and your family's needs. We really hope you'll give us a call.
I think that's tremendous information. I hope, Jason, if that helps you, please please take advantage of that and certainly tell others, if you would, and all our listeners as well. There's been a lot in the media these days about this issue and the challenges that our whole community is facing, particularly our youngest citizens, and the fact that they were relying on their school, for example, for meals. Do you interface with the schools themselves in some way, shape, or form, Tara, or you communicate with them so that the needs of those children that were relying on being in school and are now not in school, that their needs are met?
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you asked that question, Peter. During a normal school year time, we have lots of programs going on in our school. We have a backpack program for our younger children who, believe it or not, are in many instances part of the nutritional solutions in their families. We have a program for our older children, which is a school pantry program. They can shop in a pantry. It's set up just like a grocery store. And now, of course, with schools being out, that hunger and that need is greater than ever. So many of the amazing school systems in our four counties are still providing breakfasts and lunches to children. And wherever they are, we've been working with them, thanks to the wonderful efforts of our backpack program team led by Elise Berger, to try to make sure that we are bringing totes of pre-bagged backpacks. And, you know, Peter, your amazing family was a huge help in packing those out. These kits include, you know, a protein, a starch, sort of a veggie and a snack to help these children. We've been bringing, I think we're up to about 100 totes, so literally thousands of backpacks that we're trying to have handed out in concert with those food distributions. And this is not just happening in the city of Buffalo. It's happening all across our four counties. The Holland School District, their distribution is taking place this week. Literally school district by school district, we're calling superintendents. If we have not spoken to your school district, and this is something that you are interested in partnering with us on, I really encourage you to reach out to us at 852-1305 and let us know that you would be willing to help us get this food into the hands of children that are hungry. They're still learning. They're trying to learn virtually. They're getting paper packets dropped off if they don't have internet at their homes. They're doing work on computers. You still can't do that on an empty belly. So, you know, whether you're going to school hungry or you're doing your schoolwork at home, we really want to make sure these children have the nutrition they need to be able to focus and learn and have the advantage to be able to stop the cycle of poverty and continually improve their lives. They can only do that if their most basic needs are met.
Well, I certainly couldn't agree more. And to that point, obviously your organization is on the front line of this whole service to our community in terms of getting those basic needs, so basic nutritional needs met. Beyond that, and you touched on this just a little bit earlier, do you work with the schools themselves to help educate families on nutrition, let's say in more normal times? Is there an educational component about food itself that's part of your organization, or is that left to other organizations?
I think there are actually a lot of organizations that are trying to ensure that, you know, children are getting the nutritional education that they need, and we are a small part of that solution as well. We have a program called Kids in the Kitchen, and we really are trying to work with the schools, both through our school pantry programs, you know, through any of our programs that we're partnering with the Say Yes program, that we can, you know, identify these children and teachers come into our facility in normal circumstances. Obviously, right now that isn't happening until we get through the pause order, but we will be looking forward to reinstituting that, where the children can learn very simple things. You know, what are these fruits and vegetables? What makes up a good plate? You know, some of those very basic lessons that we hope will help to set a foundation for them to have good nutrition and make good nutritional choices throughout their lives. So we're very dedicated to ensuring that those nutritional, that nutritional access and education is available for all of our community members. And again, I would open that door to anyone in the community. If we have any teachers listening to us right now, you know, any executives or administrative school administrators, please give us a call, because if we're not partnering with you now, we are very interested in partnering with you in the future.
You know, I can't tell you how valuable it is to me to hear what you're saying, Tara, because it's, you know, in, go to work every day and however, from home or wherever you're doing it today, and you get buried in your own stuff. But, you know, it's amazing how everything kind of circles back to the fundamentals, for example, of a fundamentally sound education, fundamentally sound nutrition, and how these things, if once we veer away from those things, that our society really weakens. And when we compound our world with a problem like COVID-19, it makes everything so daunting. I'd like you to fast forward in your thinking a little bit for us, Tara, in terms of when we come out of this, which I hope will be mercifully soon, when we come out of this crisis that we're in, how can we be I guess, a better community? How can we avoid forgetting about what you're doing now in a really a crisis period? How can we come out of here more integrated in our thinking and also and a little bit more holistic, so we don't go back and put the blinders on and just kind of go back to, you know, please just leave me alone, let me do my thing kind of thinking, which I think happens when times are good, frankly.
Absolutely, and I think it's human nature. We all get busy. We all have so much going on in our lives. I don't think it's an issue of anyone being malicious or callous. I think people just kind of, you know, start to hum along in their day-to-day realities. But, you know, we definitely want to ensure that we are keeping, you know, obviously our organization, but every single community-based organization in this community at the forefront of people's, you know, minds. You know, I think that's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us. We've got the Erie County Hub. We've got a Chautauqua County effort of community-based organizations coming together to determine, A, how to survive right now, B, to how to come out of this crisis, and then C, how to make sure that we're planning. As you know, literally every day of this crisis has been a readjusting and pivoting and trying to be, you know, reactive. We want to be sure that when we come out of this, we are working not only with community-based organizations, but with members of the private sector to try to determine how we can plan for the next wave of this and be proactive and not reactive. I think that if we can do that, and, you know, put any of the silos or boundaries aside, work with every community-based organization, whether it's housing, transportation, you know, food needs, community child care, and partner with those like you, Peter, who are in a private sector industry. We're all about the success of the community. I know we can figure this out as a team, and if we can just be ready for that next onslaught, I think our whole community will be better for it.
I certainly hope so. You know, we have a question coming in by a text here right now, which I'd like to share with you. This questioner is asking, there's a disconnect in the community as to if students normally get free breakfast and lunch at school, we are filling backpacks for the summer, who send the food home, they get, and then their families get SNAP. Why isn't there enough food for these families? Can't keep people... doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just run on sentence there. But I think the point is that there's a questioner is saying, well, if the children are getting free breakfast and free lunch at school, and then the backpacks are being filled and the family is getting SNAP, food stamps, why isn't there enough food for people?
So, you know, obviously, you know, SNAP benefits are clearly an important part of this equation, but, you know, SNAP benefits can be very, very modest. You know, one of our clients we were just speaking with and shared with us that she gets something like $13 in SNAP dollars for the month. You know, anybody that's ever gone into a grocery store, you know, tell me how far $13 will get you. It's certainly not going to feed one individual for, you know, 30 days of a month. You know, our program is part of that filling that gap. But, you know, people are also filling their own gap as well, Peter. You know, I know that, you know, there's a lot of thought and conversation about, you know, people getting so much benefits. I can tell you it's a fallacy. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, you need each one of these pieces together to ensure that people are staying healthy and well. And, you know, I hope that caller will, you know, think about their own reality and, you know, what it takes them to get through a month. You know, that's our goal here, is to make sure we're keeping everybody healthy and well. And each one of these pieces, you know, whether it's a child getting breakfast and lunch, they still go home and they're hungry for dinner. You know, I can tell you my son could eat me out of house and home when he was a school-age child.
Tara, I have to jump in here. We only got 15 seconds left. And first of all, I want to thank you for the good work you're doing and also for joining me here on the show today. I'm going to give out your phone number once more, 852-1305. The website is feedmore.org, correct?
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having us, Peter.
Thank you, Tara. We'll be back in next week. Next week, we've got a very special show for you. We have Joanne Folletta and Dan Hart from the Buffalo Philharmonic, and weeks ahead, we've got Renee Jones and even Tom Kaczarski, who happens to be a close friend of Tara's. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us. We'll be back again next week at the same time when it comes to real estate. All of upstate is Hunt Country.